Give us back our DDT. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that actually left it to Beaver. He knows that fossil fuels have nothing to do with fossils. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It's another episode of this fantastic. Well, I can say fantastic because I'm doing it. And maybe you don't agree with me, but I like to think it's a fantastic podcast all about Medicare, helping people find their way from normal life to Medicare life without undergoing a whole lot of angst, without getting hurt, without having their delicate sensibilities offended. And that's what we do here. It's all based on my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. The 2021 edition is on the bookshelves at Amazon.com. And we are here to illuminate the atmosphere of the Medicare for the Lazy Man world. We call it MLM for short. The announcer you just heard was my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan. Big doings in his life. He is the host of, or one of the hosts of, a Canadian television show called Powerboat TV. And that can be, episodes of that can be seen by us Yanks on powerboattv.com. And apparently the first episode of the new season is being streamed or broadcast or something on Saturday, January 2nd. Now, it's probably after January 2nd when you're listening to this, so you might be able to go to the PowerBoatTV.com website and watch the first episode of 2021 if you're so inclined. And you may not care about powerboats, or you may not care about Canadians, and that's okay, too. We don't force anybody to partake of Powerboat TV entertainment around here. We do force you to, however, to partake of Randy Carson entertainment around here. So let's bring him up. Randy, how are you?
I'm good. I just, you know, it just dawned on me this morning. I was looking at the calendar. We are just about done with 2020.
I would say that by the time this one airs, it will be history. It'll be in our rearview mirror. New Year's Eve will have come and gone.
Isn't that funny to think about? It seems like this year is the year that never existed in some ways.
And guess whose fault that was? It's hard to believe that we managed to survive the year when we were warned of this huge pandemic. You've got three family members that are actually suffering from the Chinese flu, but they are all going to come out of it with flying colors, I expect. I'm quite confident anyway. So it has hit you harder than it has hit me or anybody else I know.
Well, I told a friend of mine the other day, can you hear me?
You froze up and you got.
Really? What the hell?
Well, I'm going to blame it on me.
Let's do kind of a snap here and we'll start over again. I mean, not start over again, but I'll edit some pieces of that out.
Okay. So, okay.
Starting again here. We are, what the heck was I saying?
Well, I was asking you about your relatives. I was saying that the flu hit you, your family, harder than it hit me or anybody else I know.
Oh, well, yes. Certainly we have been visited by the COVID man, and it's kind of like, can you hear me okay?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I'm looking at your face going, can you hear me? What in the world is going on? So anyway, yes, we have been visited by the COVID man. It's almost like the Easter bunny. You have Easter eggs out in the yard, and sometimes you get some in your basket and sometimes you don't.
And sometimes you go steal some out of other kids' baskets and confiscate them. You have frozen up now. It's like you're looking at the ceiling.
I have frozen up. What in the world?
Well, you did for a second there.
Okay.
And the funny, back in the red. We're
Okay, I've got to believe that something is going on bad here, because I can't. You're not showing up any different on my end than ever, but I'm showing up somehow less than stellar on your end.
Well, then maybe we should just have me yak and you just enjoy, sit back and enjoy.
And okay, because you're showing up fine.
In fact, I'm going to talk about Medicare, so you could take a nap if you want.
Oh, my. You're not going to talk about Medicare, are you? Oh,
I feel compelled to.
For God's sakes. We're almost through the year, and you're still going to talk about Medicare, are you?
Well, here's the good news. As you know, I got the green light to drive to Arizona this coming weekend. On January 2nd, we'll be leaving in what I think is going to be a snowstorm or shortly after a snowstorm. So I thought I got to get rid of some of this paper that is burdening me down. And what better way to do it than to have you help me decide what topics we should discuss today. So that way, two things happen. First of all, I can get rid of the paper that represents each of these topics, the ones you pick. Secondly, if they bomb, I can blame it on you, because I can say Randy chose that topic.
Or I can just edit it out.
Yeah, that's likely to happen. So I'm going to give you three choices here. Actually, four choices. The first one is an article about more people working past age 65. What does this mean for agents selling Medicare plans? The next article is four tips for making a better insurance pitch. The third choice that you have is five real-life Medicare sales scenarios and how to handle them. And then your fallback position is always skip all of that crap and go to the mailbag, the MLM mailbag. So,
well, that's going to be a tough choice, Doug.
Did any of these articles strike your fancy at all?
I do have a question on the last one, choice C.
All right, that was five real-life Medicare sales scenarios and how to handle them.
Which and from what perspective is that? From the sales guy's perspective or from the client's perspective?
These are articles that came from a company that offers advice to agents, you know, people like me.
Oh, I want to hear that one.
All right, let's do that one. And that way, and just in case the audience didn't hear this, just between you and me, if it bombs, then I'm going to blame it on you somehow.
we'll go pick another topic.
There you go. All righty. Five real-life Medicare sales scenarios and how to handle them. And, let's see here. You've got a call from a client or a prospect. Yay! And I'm just reading this verbatim, folks. I don't write this stuff. When you get together to meet with them, and this was written in 2018, so there are no masks involved, no social distancing. And when you get together to meet with your client, you hear their situation. Well, it's a doozy. You instantly wish you hadn't picked up the phone, but you suck it up, smile, and say, of course you'll help. Now what? All right, so they're saying that all of these five situations are like curveballs being thrown at the Medicare sales agent. So it says all Medicare sales opportunities are unique, some just a little more so than others. Oh, I can see Randy yawning out of the corner of my eye. It's the word Medicare. I think it's the word Medicare that makes his eyelids really, really heavy. So anyway, we want to help you be better able to handle whatever life or that client with several major medical conditions and a long list of prescriptions throws at you. That's why today we're covering how to troubleshoot some Medicare sales problems you may encounter out in the field. Let's get started, it says. That's almost as good as let's get after it. So number one, this client missed Medicare Part B signup deadline. So the scenario is, I wrote a client into Medicare supplement with an effective date for the next month. He was supposed to sign up for Part B with the same effective date, but he forgot. What a dope. Okay, that was not in the article. I editorialized there. It's been a little over a year since he lost his employer coverage and should have enrolled in Part B. Is he out of luck? So here's the advice the article gives, how to help. First, check if your client is eligible for a special enrollment period. If he isn't, have him call 800-MEDICARE and ask for an exception. CMS, that is the agency that oversees Medicare, and they're a bunch of people who have difficulty spelling because it stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMMS, but they spell it CMS, so they can't even spell their own acronym. Anyway, have your client call and ask for an exception. CMS may be able to get him on Part B and may even waive the late enrollment penalty. If this doesn't work, it's likely that your client will have to wait until the next general enrollment period to sign up for Part B. Now, the general enrollment period, ladies and gentlemen, is January through March at the beginning of each year. They allow people who might have forgotten, like this dope we're talking about here, to enroll in Medicare Parts A and B, and then they have to wait until July in order for that coverage to become effective. So you might have to sign up and deal with that general enrollment period and then the waiting period that is attached to that. And then he will not be accepted for a Medicare supplement until the enrollment period arrives in July. All future appointments. You'd think I'd be able to read this better. I'm in my cone of silence. It's very dark in here. At future appointments, be sure to verify that clients have Medicare Part B before writing an application. So the mistake here was that the agent wrote an application for a Medicare supplement, and the insurance company found out that the person was not eligible because they had forgotten to sign up for Medicare Part B. So that's scenario number one. Scenario number two, client needs hip surgery, wants a Medicare supplement. Haven't we all been there? Randy's laughing. Better them than me. So the scenario is, I have a client who needs hip surgery. He's currently enrolled in a Medicare disadvantage prescription drug plan and wants to switch to a Medicare supplement. What's the best time to write him into a Medicare supplement plan? How to help? Was your client told by his doctor that he would need this surgery? If so, he probably won't be able to pass underwriting into a med sup until after his surgery and possibly any therapy he needs as a result of it. Before telling him he may have to wait, you could check and see if he has a guaranteed issue right. Guaranteed issue rights vary by state, but here's a list of the federal ones. And I got to click on the link. And of course, I don't know what's there, but a guaranteed issue right is a time when the federal government tells the states that they have to allow people to take a Medicare supplement without any underwriting. For instance, if they move from a place and have a Medicare Advantage plan, but since we know those are territorial, they cover a small geographical area. So let's say they move from New Jersey to Virginia. That person has to go shopping for a new plan. He could get a Medicare supplement plan without any underwriting. So this guy that needs the hip replacement could actually move into a whole new place just to be able to get a med sup, but that's unlikely to happen. So I'm guessing this guy is stuck with his poor decision to buy a Medicare Advantage plan. He's, you know, sometimes when you make a mistake, you got to pay the price. You live with the
consequences. I can't believe it. Oh, that is so funny, Doug.
But it's, you know, he ought to go on a speaking tour telling other people, don't do what I did. Get a medic.
That's like when you're driving out here to Arizona to come back home. Yep. You're going to get like in the middle of Nebraska somewhere and you're going to hit a deer. Hopefully this is all, you know, just a story. But then you call up your insurance agent and go, oh, but hey, buddy, I just hit a deer and totaled out my car here. Could I get some of that there insurance?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I always use as an excuse, or not an excuse, an illustration about the basic principle of insurance. If you have a home and you don't want to pay a few $100 for homeowner's insurance, that's okay. But the day it catches fire, when you call your homeowner's insurance agent and say, hey, give me some of that insurance, So it's a little too late.
Why do you want that? Well, oh, no, do you hear that? You hear that? Do you hear that stuff in the background, the timbers falling and the crackling? Yeah,
the screaming of the dying burn victims. And well,
oh my God. Alrighty. That is funny.
So let's see. Number three here is client needs extra help paying for prescriptions. Now, extra help is actually a legal term for welfare. There is an extra help program that allows the government to help people pay for their prescription drugs. And so that's what's going on in this particular scenario. The scenario is I met with a woman who just aged into Medicare, meaning she turned 65, and takes several medications costing thousands of dollars monthly. She was enrolled in Medicare Part A and B and was auto-enrolled into a prescription drug plan because she applied for and was granted extra help. I guess they just grab you and throw you into whatever plan comes up, plan.
You look like you need some help, buddy.
Yeah, you go stand over there. We'll be right with you. So she,
extra help. You need some extra help.
So she'd like to start taking her Social Security benefits in order to afford the Medicare supplement, which she could use. However, this could cause her to lose her extra help eligibility. What should I recommend she do? Oh, boy. Here's the answer. Does your client qualify for Medicaid? Okay, just go down to the welfare office and sign her right up. How about a dual eligible special needs plan? That's another form of coverage that's actually a Medicare Advantage plan for really poor people that are over age 65. You could help your client set up and prepare for an appointment with a Medicaid caseworker. It's like, would your client like to go to jail? Here, we'll help you. We'll unlock the door and shove you right into the cell. It seems to me you could help your client earn more money so they don't have to be on welfare. I think that makes everything a win-win. But all righty. Well, so much for that. Number four, simple Medicare sales pitch needed. The scenario is I sent all the major Medicare Advantage, Medicare Supplement, and prescription drug plans. Oh, I sell all of those. During my presentation, I try to educate clients about all of their Medicare options. I can see what's coming. They're going to confuse the client. But by the time I get through, yes, Randy.
You know, all this stuff over here, buddy, you don't need to know about this. I want you to pay particular attention to this one with Joe Namath.
Yeah, that one.
Because I make good money off of that.
Well, but in the meantime, this guy wants to confuse the heck out of his potential client. So he says they seem too overwhelmed to make a decision that day. I think they just want to get his ass out of the house. Go away. Stop talking. Stop talking about Medicare. It makes me yawn and want to go to sleep. What can I do to streamline my Medicare sales presentation? This is what Randy's been asking me every day. Can you speed it up? Here's how to help. If your clients seem overwhelmed by all the facts, you may be overeducating them. Try to simplify the decision-making process for them. Make your pitch more like a casual conversation rather than a presentation. Focus on finding out their coverage needs and what they value in a plan, not the options themselves. To do this, you'll have to ask questions, especially simple ones like, what is your name? Oh, no, it doesn't have that there. Here's a simple question. Are you open to seeing a new doctor if it means you could save some money? When ready, briefly tell them about the types of coverage they can get and what types you think best fits their preferences and why. So this is the kind of thing that should be second nature to most people, but you have to tell it to a Medicare salesman because otherwise they're going to go for the commission. They're going to sell the product that makes them the most money. And that's going to be
Mabel. I just thought I'd let you know that I've sorted these on your behalf. The top of the heap is the ones I make the most money.
Yeah. So
on.
Can you just sign here, please?
So just sign here, Mabel. I'm taking care of you. Don't worry about it.
Well, that would solve this person's problem because they said they needed a simpler Medicare sales pitch. So just pick all of your products. Put them in order of your commission, which one pays you the highest commission, which is likely going to be a Medicare disadvantage plan, and then throw away everything else. and don't give them a choice.
Yeah,
That just leads to trouble. That's just like
you're going to a restaurant. You remember, you know, there was a restaurant out here in Cave. Well, it wasn't Cave Creek, actually, North Scottsdale, for years and years and years. That I won't mention the name of it in case there's any legal ramification to that. But you remember the one where you could get anything you wanted to eat for supper as long as it was a hamburger.
Oh, yeah.
and a bag of chips.
Okay. There was
nothing else to be had.
Just like buying a Henry Ford product. It's going to be
that's
black.
That's right.
You can have any color you want as long as it's black.
As long as it's black. Yeah. Well, this is like, this reminds me of that process. Just go to their house and say, Mabel, you can have any Medicare plan you want as long as it's this one. Sign here.
Because that's the one I make the most money on. Exactly right. Well, we, you know, you and I have actually done the same thing that's recommended here in reverse. We, instead of going after the high commission, we have gotten rid of all the extraneous products that really aren't doing a lot of people that much good. And ironically, the one that's left over pays the lowest commission, which is the high value, high deductible plans. On the other hand, we do have more satisfied customers than the agents that sell the Medicare Advantage plan. So I like it when my phone doesn't ring with dissatisfied clientele. I'm just as happy to have, to not make as much money, but to have satisfied, well-covered clientele. So the last one on this list of five is the agent makes an error on the Medicare application. And the scenario is I mistakenly checked the wrong box on an application and enrolled a client into the wrong Medicare Advantage plan. Well, here's the deal. Every Medicare Advantage plan is
Oh my God, that is the wrong one. Check any box here. That's wrong. Okay.
Yeah. It's not that you checked the wrong box. The problem you have is you checked any box at all. You should have just wadded it up and thrown it away. So how to help? Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. So this little article here is just to make this person feel better. If you learn you made an error, the best thing to do is take responsibility for it. I feel like I'm watching Leave It to Beaver. Well, Ward, you better sit the boys down and tell them what life is all about.
Wally, so did you actually sell that Medicare Advantage plan to that poor
woman? That was the Beeve. That was the Beeve.
Oh, the Beeve did that. Oh, my God. I thought maybe it was Larry.
Yeah, I'd always blame it on Larry. So anyway, call or email the insurance company to let them know about the problem. They may have a corrections form that you can fill out. Depending on the carrier, they may even change the enrollment to the correct plan retroactively. Well, they better do that. Jesus, you know, that's the only possible correct scenario for the client or for the insurance company to use.
Guess what? You get to have a Medicare disadvantage plan, and because you made a mistake, you really wanted a Medicare supplement.
Yeah.
Which would have been a good decision.
Yeah.
But you, unfortunately, your agent, while you weren't looking, checked the wrong box.
But you're my agent. Could you check the right box?
Oh, I will, but it takes me a whole nother year to get that box changed.
Oh
my God. Guess what's going to happen? You're not going to like this, but guess what happens because they checked that wrong box?
I'm going to
die. I make a whole lot more money. I make a whole lot more money. Darn it.
Can you give me a little of it? Oh, boy. Well, I just discovered something horrifying that I hadn't prepared for. I had an article here that said these are five real-life Medicare sales scenarios and how to handle them. The horrible thing I just discovered, I got down to number five, which we just dealt with. That was the agent error on the application and how to fix it. And then below that, it says five more real-life Medicare sales scenarios and how to handle them. Why didn't they just say 10 up front? You know, just like if you sell somebody a Medicare Advantage plan, why not just tell them up front? You're going to be upset with this. You're going to want to change down the road. But they don't ever tell these
people. And here's five more reasons you're going to be upset.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and here's five more.
Yeah,
oh,
and the reasons just keep coming. So this is really number six. New Medicare agent wants to be prepared for annual election period, or AEP. That's the time in the fall when all the Medicare Advantage agents go nuts. They put war paint on and they run around in the woods and they hoop and holler and build bonfires and dance around the fire all night. And then they go out and they try to find victims to sell their crappy Medicare Advantage products too. So the scenario is this fall will be my first time selling during the annual enrollment period. I want to be as prepared as possible to make it a good profitable sales season. What should I do? And the advice is, this is your first AEP? Question mark. You know, they could shorten this article up by getting rid of the stupidity. The guy just said that, or the person, the agent just said it was their first AEP. So of course the advice starts with, this is your first AEP? We are so excited for you. Luckily, we have several posts and podcast episodes related to Medicare sales and AEP preparation. Also, the company this author works for is starting a blog specializing in senior health insurance market. If you want more tips, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I don't see our audience being that excited about this. Number two, or actually number five, six, seven, T65 client on disability has Medicare Part A, needs Part B. Yeah, once again, the disability thing, that's when I call in the big guns. Clients with VA benefits, TRICARE or COBRA. Now, this is a question I get a lot, and I've never heard a really good answer. Maybe this is going to be the answer I've been dreaming about. So the scenario is, Randy's shaking his head. Now, you're going to be heartbroken again when this paragraph comes to an end. You're going to be right back where you started. Scenario, I am slightly nervous about going to a Medicare sales appointment only to have a client tell me they have VA benefits, TRICARE, or COBRA coverage. Well, COBRA is no problem. It's VA or TRICARE. What should I do if I find myself in this situation? How to proceed? Here's the advice. You don't have to be nervous. We're right here to help you. Okay, cut out the fluff and let's get down to it.
Who is we in this particular context?
You got a mouse in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
I would think that, you know, basically when you walk in to visit with this veteran, that they might want to send an agent that had more than, you know, 6 weeks worth of training.
Well, absolutely, because if I'm that kind of veteran, I'm going to treat him just like Charlie. You know, I'm going to say, all right, you're fixing to die. You know, go back to your mama-san. But anyway, so here's what the advice is to the agent. You don't have to be nervous. Don't be afraid. We're right here to help you. Did you know that two is better than one when it comes to having VA benefits and Medicare? When veterans with VA benefits pair them with a Medicare plan, they should have more flexibility and options in where they receive care and how it's paid for. The same may also be true for people with TRICARE and COBRA, although this varies from situation to situation. When helping clients take a really good look at what their current coverage covers and consider if it would be advantageous for them to enroll in some form of Medicare that you can sell them and you can make money from. If you always check with your carrier reps, okay. Well, here's the deal. The most consistent answer I've ever heard about clientele or prospects that have TRICARE or VA beneficiary status in some form is that, frankly, they can make a choice. I have seen people that cannot access VA benefits very comfortably because either they've got to go someplace far away, they don't have confidence in the quality of the care, or some other reason. And those people should have their own Medicare supplement plan on top of Medicare Parts A and B. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who are very satisfied getting some level of benefits from the VA. The facilities are close. They're confident in the quality of the treatment they're going to get. So my advice to those people is don't get a Medicare supplement if you're confident that your VA benefits are going to be convenient for you to tap into, especially the drugs. Apparently, VA people like the drug service that they get from the VA. So then I tell them, well, it is considered to be equivalent coverage, so you're never going to be penalized for late enrollment if you just go ahead and use the VA for your drug plan. If you decide later on to get a PDP, a prescription drug plan, you won't have a late enrollment penalty because the VA coverage that you've been using has is considered to be equivalent. So you don't have a problem. So basically, I leave it up to the individual. If they're happy with their VA services, then let them keep that and don't try to sell them a Medicare supplement plan or a prescription drug plan. On the other hand, if they're not happy with the VA, then they should buy something else that's going to make them feel more confident. So two more things. Clients' contact info is out of date. Well, get the phone book out. You know, the white pages is always going to have the latest address and phone number for your client. I'm actually kidding. There's a thing here. I don't know. You find them on the internet, whitepages.com. And then the last sentence in this section is, what if you find out your client has actually died? Well, I don't know. Here's a link to how to handle that situation. It seems like some of this is pretty darn basic. And then five, selling other products to Medicare clients. Scenario, I'm also contracted to sell other insurance products, including ancillary long-term care and life insurance plans. How can I best go about cross-selling these plans? How can I get more money out of my clients? How can I get them to open their wallets and just dump all of their money onto the table? And the advice is, we are happy to hear you're already contracted with other, you know, these other things that you talked about, and thinking about maximizing your value of your book of business. Though they can be sold year round, the best time to cross-sell plans like these to your Medicare clients is after the annual enrollment period at follow-up appointments. Oh, God, those poor victims. Oh, okay. I was going to say that they're victimizing their clients by insisting on follow-up appointments, but I realize the clients probably want to see them to get out of that stupid plan they accidentally bought to try something else. So during the annual enrollment period, which again is at the end of the year, it's from October to December, you can schedule follow-up appointments with clients. For clients who don't wish to schedule, for clients who hate you and never want to see you again, try giving them a call a few months later. Maybe they will have forgotten that they hate you and don't want to see you anymore. See how they like their plan. Ooh, that sounds like dangerous territory. Then ask if you can help them with any other coverage needs, like all this other stuff that you're talking about. It's important. I'm not making fun of the, you know, nursing home, long-term care insurance and all that. It's important stuff, but the general rule of thumb that the federal government wants you to follow if you sell Medicare Advantage plans is don't be selling other stuff at the same time, because the federal government thinks that your clients are too stupid to be accosted with more than one product at a time. In fact, you have to sign a form that indicates all the stuff you're going to talk about during that appointment. If you're going to sell a Medicare Advantage plan, you've got to guarantee in writing that you're not going to confuse the poor, weak, confused client that you have sitting in front of you. That's another reason I don't like Medicare Advantage plans, because the government has their fingers in everything you do. So, Randy, you picked out a winner there. I think we managed to make that moderately entertaining.
Yeah, well, there's one more thing that crossed my mind, you know, in terms of this cross-selling thing. This cross-selling thing, I also have an Earl Scheib car painting
$29.95.
agency. That $29.95, or you could get the better version where the paint actually sticks to your door for a little more than 6 months, is $39.95. Or you can get the big kahuna, what is it, $49 or $59, where they actually tape it off so you don't have paint all over your windows.
Yep, yep. It's nice to know that they can upsell the crap out of you. So that's, Earl Scheib mastered the art of upselling. And frankly, the cars came out of there looking okay for a couple of days.
Yeah, to your point there, Doug, they really weren't. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it was. You had to plan that like on an annual basis. Let's see, what should I do today? Okay, right after Christmas, I always paint my car.
Yeah, if I got a new calendar for Christmas, a desk calendar, I would put Earl Scheib on it twice, right at the beginning of the year and then again at the end of the year.
So. Oh, dear. Well, we have used up our time, Doug. We have had way too much fun today.
Let's get the heck out of here. But remember, the 2021 version of Medicare for the Lazy Man is on sale at Amazon. So If you'd like some light reading about Medicare, go buy that. We're working on the ebook, the Kindle version, and the Audible version. Those will be coming soon. And send us a love note or a critique at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. So I think that's the short version of most of the stuff that we say.
I think so. But anyhow, thanks everybody for joining us. Doug gave you a good rundown on where to get the new version of the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. Now, it used to be called Medicare for the Lazy Man such and such a year. But now, as you know, we've taken the year off so that we don't lose all of our accolades at the end of the
year. But you'll know the right book. So you'll know the one you're looking at, because it's got a big red 2021 on the cover.
Right. So the picture is important. The title is less important, but look at the cover. It's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021. And we're going to get the rest of it out, the ebook and the Audible, as soon as we can. I'm trying to learn German as we speak so I can read the Audible version in a European language.
Oh, boy. That's something to look forward to. get yourself a Wallensack tape recorder to read it into. All righty.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes?
That's your typical, Yeah,
32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and...
Sole provider.
He is sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. And we're coming in on the end of the year, so be sure and get your books. They're on special. Buy three, pay for three. And get them now before they're gone.
Bye-bye, everyone.